Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know why, but we were sitting here talking about the new movie, The Fellowship of the Ring, and that's the J.R.R. Tolkien. The trilogy that he wrote was called Lord of the Rings. They've made a movie out of the first book of that trilogy called Fellowship of the Rings. Now, maybe there's a lot of you that don't even know what it is that I'm talking about. I suspect there's a lot more of you who do know what it is that I'm talking about, because this goes back, I mean, when I started reading The Hobbit, I was in high school, and I never got through the trilogy. Did you read the trilogy, Craig? Did you, Mike? Yeah, guys like you and me, our attention span is not there. Now, this is a interesting thing, because they're making a movie out of this. And they're making a movie starring Ian McKellen. He's going to be Gandalf, who was the wizard that led Bilbo Baggins to Mordor to get the ring and then bring it back to Middle-earth. Well, no, Middle-earth is where everybody lives. Bilbo Baggins was a hobbit. And along the way with Gandalf, Bilbo met up with Gollum, who is this slimy guy who lived in the mountains there. Was it the Misty Mountains that they had to go through? And the Misty Mountains, of course, were occupied by goblins. Gollum, I think, was at one time a good guy. Now, I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but for anybody that doesn't know what I'm talking about, wasn't Gollum a good guy? The rest of you that don't know what I'm talking about, bug off. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, no, seriously, Gollum was a good guy. Gollum was at one time either a man or a hobbit or an elf or something who got hooked on the power of the ring. And he got so hooked on the power of the ring. Isn't that where Bilbo got the ring? He got it from Gollum. And when he stole it from Gollum, remember Gollum was screaming and crying and wailing, and it was like, you know, like he was going to die. I remember that part of the book really vividly, because when Bilbo Baggins, and I don't know if Gandalf was with him at the time, but Bilbo had to answer all these riddles that Gollum was throwing at him, and Bilbo was successful in doing it, and he got the ring, and as he left, Gollum was wailing, like, you know, he totally messed up. But I think that brought Gollum back to whatever it was that he was. I think he stopped being a slimy thing and became whatever the hell he was, you know, used to be, like a guy. He's like a guy. Gollum was a slimy thing, but then he come back to being a guy, see? It happens to all of us. So they're going to have Ian McKellen playing Gandalf the wizard. Elijah Wood plays Frodo Baggins. I don't know who Frodo Baggins is. Bilbo's father-in-law? I have no idea. Do hobbits have father-in-laws? Do hobbits observe marital, you know, do they get married or do they just move in together? I think hobbits just move in together. I don't think there's any real marriage with hobbits. And that's why, you know, Bilbo didn't have a father-in-law. I think he just shacked up in his tree stump or wherever the hell it is that he lives. Do you want to come back to my stump or what do you think? Say, listen, I don't want to... Oh, I get it. They cohabitate. Bah-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. That's great. They cohabitate. So, this cat Bilbo goes to the local Middle Earth bar and does what? You want to come back to my knot hole? I mean, what? So, and the hobbits look just like guys. They've got some great stills in Entertainment Weekly this week that show some of the stills from the upcoming Fellowship of the Rings film, which is going to be awesome to go see. And the hobbits, I never did know what a hobbit looked like, because they talked about hobbits having hairy feet, but they look just like guys, only they're like midget, people. And Elijah Wood is one of them. Billy Boyd plays another. Sean Astin, he of Rudy, is also. And Sean Astin looks like a freaking hobbit, doesn't he? So that's perfect. Frodo is Bilbo's nephew. That's it. Does he join up with Bilbo as they go off into the Fellowship of the Rings trilogy? I don't know. But does Bilbo get greased? I don't know. Is Gandalf going to live? I don't know. I think Gandalf croaks eventually. Anyway, that'd be really cool. 1-800-449-8686. So there's a few things that we need to answer. Can hobbits get drunk? And if so, what kind of, you know, is there liquor in Middle Earth? Because there's taverns. I know that in one part of Fellowship of the Rings, the Hobbit and Gandalf and a bunch of them stop at a tavern. They're on their way to Mordor, and they're going, and they're drinking wine. And some rangers arrive, and these rangers are humans. They're men. And they pull up on their horses, and they get off. And I guess the rangers are saying, man, bad crap is happening in the east. You don't want to go down there. And it turns out they were drinking Middle Earth Ale, which is like 20 proof, straight Applejack. And Bilbo had to go in for detox, and the guy says to him, well, what do I got? What was my blood test? 200 proof, baby, straight Applejack. Anyway, so there was booze in Middle Earth. Thank you. Now, this question about Gollum and whether or not this guy was a ranger, whether he was a man, I don't know. But I want to find that out before too long. Otherwise, I'm not going to go see the movie. Also, I demand free passes to see the film. So if the studio is listening, I would like 1, 2, 3, 4 times 2, 8 passes to the screening. Another thing I'd like is a car to take me there. And I'd like a call right now from Ian McKellen if you can arrange that. Yes, of course you can. Thanks. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. We'd like to mention to you that we've made around $90,000. Just around $90,000. The exact figure is $675,000. And we have done that through your great generosity. 877-616-7445 to get a copy of the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD or picture disc. And this, all of the money from the raising of... the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. $20 for the CD, $3.50 shipping and handling, and we know you're going to love that. That is, as of today, $90,377.50. And we really should have another signing somewhere along the way to raise a little bit more money. People like to come out for those things. It's Phil Henry Show. A couple of things I wanted to mention to you. Barbara Streisand is calling senators, 15 senators, to urge them to deny George W. Bush's nomination of John Ashcroft as the Attorney General. And I just want to say this about that. This is what happens when you get old. This is what happens when you hit 50 and you've made all your money and you've done all your good things that you're going to do in terms of your career. Then you come busting out of your little hobbit hole with all kinds of great ideas for the rest of the world. Please don't hold this too strongly against Barbara Streisand, because she's a marvelous singer. She's a great artist. She's just beginning to enter that phase of her life where she's starting to write lots of postcards to TV stations. Dear Channel 4, I think your weatherman blows. You know, Barbara Streisand. Dear, you know, my dad did that one time. I came to the house. I said, what is this, Dad? Well, this is a wonderful thing. Look at this. What? These are all postcards, and I bought them for a nickel. Okay? Yeah. Well, you can write down, Rot in Hell, John Beard, signed Herb Hendry. I can put it in there, and then it goes, and I can get all the crap that I need out of my system, and that's just a beautiful thing. I said, yeah, Dad, you're 60, okay? Well, what the hell is that supposed to mean? I said, you're retired now. I can see here you've got that 15-year-old Hennessy out. I mean, what is up with you? And this is what's going on with Barbara Streisand. She's now hit that point in her life where she's writing lots of postcards. She's scurrying down to the mailbox with a sort of a knit shawl over her shoulders and a small dog following after with the leash sort of dragging in the asphalt. And she's throwing all these postcards into the mailbox and then closing it and then waving to a neighbor. And, you know, it spends about an hour chatting with a gardener. And, you know, James Brolin walks out and goes, what the hell are you doing anyway? You know, where's my breakfast? He said, oh, shit. And she goes in and, you know. And that's their life now, you know. It's a beautiful life, a wonderful life. They got a nice home over there. They got a beautiful view of the ocean. And, but, you know, she's now going to be, this is the part of her life where she, see, what happens is this, and you need to understand this, because it's starting to happen to me. It's begin. I never thought it would. I am looking with horror. I see myself change, like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly. I'm seeing just small permutations. What happens is, imagine yourself as a young man or a young woman. You walk into a room to sit down to ponder the problems of life, and you're not going to come out until you've got them solved. Now, all of your friends cheer you as you go into that room. They're applauding you. You're a young person, like they're all young people. You go in there, you sit down, and you're going to figure out these problems, and you've joined an organization, and you've got, you know, you're wearing Che Guevara, an armband, you know, and, you know, Viva la Raza, whatever the hell, you know, Viva Che, you know. You go in there and you ponder and you ponder and you ponder. Finally, you have the answer. You come busting out of the room and you're 56. And now, rather than being a romantic radical, you're just a blathering old person with a lot of postcards that you're shoving into mailboxes because nobody wants to listen to you. You know, next thing you know, she's going to have like a single light bulb dangling in the garage and she'll be writing angry letters to the U.S. government. She'll have a picture of Kate Smith on the wall with the eyes cut out of it. And James will be coming up. Honey, are you done yet?
I'll be done in just a minute, James. You just go back in there. You're going to get some...
Oh, for Christ's sake. Come on.
No.
And that's the way it's going to be. And it's fine. It's okay. I think it's amusing. And no, I'm not going to be one of those guys that has said repeatedly, hey, Barbara, Bush won the election. You going to leave the country? Because she wasn't serious about that, and I don't want to leave the country. I think she's a lot of laughs where she is. Anyway, she wrote a letter of 15 senators, these guys, a letter, you know, urging them to deny this trip. Her quote was, we live in a great country. We allow a woman the right of choice over her body. We have some basic gun control laws. We have affirmative action, yada, yada, yada. Why would we allow the chief law enforcement officer to be a person who doesn't believe in any of these laws? And Army Archer in Daily Variety writes, bravo, Barbara. And if that guy isn't the biggest ass licker, I'm just kidding, Army. You know. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. So we found out that Gollum was a hobbit. Gollum was killed. Gollum killed his brother, his twin brother, for the ring. And Gollum was a hobbit and became a just this slimy, slithery piece of crap that lived up in the Misty Mountains because he became hooked on the power of the ring. Now, for those of you who don't know what the hell it is I'm talking about Fellowship of the Rings, which is going to be out as a film shortly. And it stars Ian McKellen. It has Sean Astin in it and a few others. Liv Tyler is in it. It's an awesome series of books. I don't know if you want to go see this movie before you read these books. And if you think Harry Potter, I would love to sit my kids down. Problem with my kids is they think they know everything, which, of course, you know, they're 15 and 13 and 11 and 9. So obviously they do. You know, they think they know everything. I want to turn them on to this so bad because they're stone Harry Potter freaks. You ain't seen Harry Potter freaks like my kids. They read everything. They voraciously consumed every Harry Potter book. You think Harry Potter's cool, and if you think Star Wars is cool, Fellowship of the Rings is the freaking bomb on this thing, man. You got to read this and understand that Lucas probably got a lot of his ideas from it. And if you want to be, you know, I'm sorry to have to say this. I know the lady, you know, dug her way out of poverty on the tale of these great Harry Potter books. She probably ripped off a lot of her stuff from Fellowship of the Rings, too. It's actually Lord of the Rings trilogy is what I'm trying to say here, plus The Hobbit, which is the opening book. So, Gollum was a hobbit, and he killed his brother for the ring. He had the ring. Bilbo got the ring from him. There's two rings, one of which is in the possession of the Dark One, and the other ring is in the possession of Bilbo Baggins after this. Bilbo becomes a very old and venerated hobbit. He goes back to his little hobbit home, and people come around until the end of his life and ask him about the great adventures that he had with the great Gandalf, who was a wizard. And Bilbo eventually passes the ring along to his nephew, Frodo Baggins. And this is the character that you'll see in this film, Fellowship of the Rings, Frodo, who now is in possession of the ring. And again, as I said, if he who has both rings has all the power in the world, and if that's true, why didn't Gandalf, why didn't he take that ring? Why'd he give it to a hobbit that lives in a hole in a tree? These are the questions that we have. And if Gandalf was here right now, with all due respect, Gandalf, Jesus, what are you doing? I don't understand. What do you mean? You gave it to a hobbit? See what happened the last time? The last hobbit that had it turned into a thing.
Well, I just gave it to Frodo.
Well, good thinking, genius. You got the big sorcerer hat with the thing and the beard and everything. Ain't you a real brain surgeon?
I say, you're all treating me with grave disrespect.
Well, there you go. That's me. Smart move, Obi-Wan. Now, Craig brings up a very good point. Maybe Gandalf figured that the Dark One would not think a hobbit would have it. But guess what? A hobbit did have it. Bilbo freaking had it. And the word got back to the Dark One on that. One of his little orcs came in one day and said, you're going to believe this. What? Freaking hobbits got it. What? That's right. That's what I just heard from a ranger who came in, his belly full of some of that Middle Earth ale, man. He was babbling his mouth off. So maybe the Dark One doesn't think a hobbit would have it maybe in the original book, The Hobbit, but now a freaking hobbit's got it, Frodo, and that Dark One is pissed. And Gandalf's the guy that gave it to him. What a... I'm disappointed. Now, getting... So anyway, this Harry Potter, these kids... I've got to get the kids reading this before they go. They want to go see the movie. Because what's going to happen, I know what's going to happen. They're going to go, oh, wow, it's the coolest thing. What? Lord of the Rings. I know, I already read it. Yeah, but you didn't see the movie. I read the books. So they're going to become experts. And I just would like them to read this because it's. I think it's richer. Have you read any of this Harry Potter? I haven't read any of the Harry Potter. But I know that, you know, Maria's read it with the kids, and she says it's really awesome. And there's a whole lot of kind of mythic stuff in it that you can follow in much the same way. Star Wars, all that stuff. I just want these guys to get a load of the really cool crap. You know, and I want them to read it before we go see the movie. These guys are movie-going freaks. Okay, let's just go read the books first before you watch the movie. And as far as Barbara Streisand goes, I don't know what to make out of her anymore. But like I said, the older you get, the more postcards and letters you write. It's happening to me. I find myself when I'm, you know, I'm looking, I'm reading, I'm more and more I'm reading the paper and going, why, you idiot! Oh, this bush is a moron. You know, I'm screaming at the newspaper in the morning. That is called senile. That is called old and cranky. That's called old and getting older as the day ticks on. When you sit there with the newspaper and you go, oh, damn that Castro, and you know. And forgive me, calling talk radio stations, that's another sign of old age. Because if I had a nickel for everyone we got to blow off the line around here, and I do it with love and I do it with respect, we've got to blow off a lot of people off the line around here with the...
I'll have to talk to Phil about what he's discussing.
Are you incontinent?
Yes, I am.
All right, hold on. We'll put you right on. Because I know it's probably, you know, it's...
Yeah, it's all wet.
Okay, well, we'll get you right on, and then you can wipe up.
Okay.
Jeez. I got a nickel for that. So, you know, and don't tell me that I'm, you know, don't start putting it on me, because everybody who ever works at any radio station anywhere knows exactly what I'm saying is true. You do flips and twists to keep those people off the air. So you get crankier, I don't know. Because all of a sudden you figured it out, you know what you want to do, you know what's wrong with the world, you want to run out, you want to tell everybody. And now people are looking at you going, yeah, you're just some far-out old man. Well, yeah, but I got the answer. You may have had the answer. It's the wrong time to have the answer when you're like 55, man. Because unless you're already a politician or elected president or something, you know, you got to go to this politics thing pretty early. Otherwise, you're some far-out old dude running around trying to figure things out. And Barbara Streisand, of all people now, becomes our far-out old lady at the end of the lane with the shawl and the postcards and the here's what we ought to do thing. And I, again, I'm not going to ask the question, how come you're still here, but how come you're still here? Who was the other guy? Wasn't it Altman who said he was going to split too? So split already, will you? Now, and again, this is coming from a liberal Democrat, but there's some of you guys I could do without. And the other one, there was, oh, Alec Baldwin. Is he still around? So they're all still here. Well, that's too bad. You can't get people's hopes up like that, man. That's really cruel. Remember what Ralph Fiennes said to Liam Neeson there in Schindler's List? That's cruel, Oscar. You're giving them hope. Well, you're giving me hope when you say that you're going to split and then you don't. You Nazi. I'm just a Jew in a boxcar, and you promised that you were going to give me water, and you didn't. Now where are you? Now you're still here? Get out. Write your postcards from your, I don't know, your summer home in the south of France, wherever the hell it is that you write your postcards from. Ashcroft's going to get, he's going to get confirmed. I heard it. It's the word is in, baby. He's in. Doesn't matter. This guy could be a, he could have been a member of the Gestapo. He's in, okay? Let's go see a movie. 1-800, hopefully one that you're not in, Barbara. No offense. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Show here, 1-800-449-8686. I don't think there can't be anything much more embarrassing than being caught, you know, cheating on your wife, and then the next day having people say, "We still stand behind you. We still believe in you." I mean, Jesus, how about the wife? You remember, I remember when Swaggart was caught back in the late 80s, they nailed him out in Indio, in the desert, and he was with a prostitute out there. Wasn't that right? And I remember he goes on TV, and he's got this look on it, "I'm so sorry," and he was crying, and everybody made fun of him. And naturally, they're going to make fun of you, because nobody really believed that he was sorry for what he did. What he was sorry for was that he was going to lose a whole lot of coin. He was sorry that his life was about to change. But the one person that I couldn't take my eyes off of out of all of that was his wife. Now, you talk about somebody looked like she had a rusty razor blade in a drawer someplace. She did. She had that hard spray-painted, that whole hairsprayed dome helmet. I don't know what kind of a hairdo it was, but it was like a collection of haystack. I don't know what it was, but it was hair. And she had the look in her eye of a serial murderer. She had the look in her eye of someone who skins rabbits for a living, someone who clubs seals. You know, she looked like somebody, you know, the hitchhiker in the rain, you know, from the old Bardol commercials. Just, she's evil. She looked worse than Jimmy. And all of a sudden I look at her and I go, "Man, I am going to pray for you. You know what? I love you. Because you, when this thing's over with, she's going to take you out back with about a 32-ounce Louisville Slugger, and you're going to have to lay your private parts out on a table, and she's going to go about tenderizing them, and then everything's going to be forgiven." She looked really, really angry. And and what's Jackson's wife thinking right now? That's the person you got to think about, the wife, because she looks like the chump of the world. She has just been chumped six ways to sunset by this guy. Now, he says today, "Hey, look, I am going to have to back out of the spotlight because of this revelation." Yeah, you bet. As a matter of fact, goodbye. We'll never see or hear from him again. This is it. This killed him. He's dead meat now. Next thing, he's going to be having his head under a sofa. They'll be carrying him out to a car with his hands cuffed behind his back. He'll be on his way to a nut house someplace. Because that's what happened to Jim Baker. Remember when that guy got caught with his hand in the cookie jar? That guy, they took him off to a nut bin. He flipped out when he figured he wasn't going to have any of that cool Jack coming in the envelopes with those old ladies kissing letters and stuff. You know, the big trough that Oral Roberts has got. He flipped. And then I just saw him on TV not too long ago with the bald head, and I don't know what he's doing. I think he's selling patio furniture someplace. This is the killer. This is what does it. This puts more guys out of commission, this cheating on the wife thing. You cannot do this and hope to recover. Even Clinton, you know, Clinton, who could have had it all, as soon as he pulled that, it's over. You say, well, Kennedy did it? Nobody knew it at the time. Plus, he had that assassination thing going for him. You know, that's a nice thing. If you can get, look at the, what I would suggest, have somebody shoot you. Then maybe they're going to forget about that and they'll feel bad about you. But Kennedy went out, he cheated on his wife. Nobody knew anything about him. By the time we already found out about it, half of his head was blown off. So it's, well, you know, I guess he's, you know, he cheated on his wife. Yeah, but he got shot. So that pretty much chills that out. He cheated on his wife, man. Yeah, I know, but he took like 3 slugs in the head. I got to say, you know, that's paying some dues. So Kennedy's okay. But you cheat on your wife, you're dead meat. And is anybody thinking about Mrs. Reverend Jesse Jackson? And who are these people saying they're going to stand behind him? So what does that mean? I cheated on my wife. Well, I'm still backing you up 100%, man. Okay, well, I'm going down to the unemployment office. You know what? I back you up 100%, Jesse. What's next? Picking lettuce out in the field? I mean, I don't, you know. Okay, look, I tell you what. I'll meet you at 4:30 when they drop you off, when you jump off the back of the flatbed truck, and we'll go get something to eat. What do you mean, picking lettuce? We ain't going to go out and we're going to... No, I ain't going to live the big life anymore. It's over. It's gone. The rolling power outages here in California also, you know, caused me to ask one question. Who's going to get fired behind this gig? I've been hearing about it. We ain't got no power, and I've been hearing about this now for weeks. And I don't see anybody getting fired. Now, we don't have any juice, rolling blackouts. There's deregulation this, and there's something else. Somebody's got to get canned. How about the guy that suggested deregulation in the first place? Oh, you mean he's got Alzheimer's? Okay, well, then how about the champion of deregulation? Oh, he broke his hip. All right, well, then maybe we can... Is Nancy around? I don't know. It ain't going to be Gray Davis. That's the guy. He's the guy that's got to clean up the cat box, okay? Somebody's got to get blown out. How about the guy that runs Southern California Edison? You know what, man? I'm sorry to have to, you know, give you the news. I realize it's not your fault, but someone's head's got to roll. You're the man. Well, wait a second. My stockholders, you're dead. Get out. You're gone. Take your cigars, take your 15-year-old brandy, your Martell, and bug off. Because this is a mess far beyond anybody could ever possibly imagine. Now I'm talking to a guy today, Alan Stock in Las Vegas. He says to me, they're going to have a gas shortage there because we got some gasoline problems. Richest country in the world. Fight a freaking war, so we got all kinds of gas. And, you know, electricity is something that you don't, it's not in the ground. You can just create that anytime you want to, and we ain't got nothing of anything. So here's what's going to happen. One of these CEOs needs to lose his freaking job. I read in the paper the other day, some guy is cutting 1,000 jobs at some major corporation in America. I wish you could remember. It was good news for the stockholders. And they even had the guy's picture in the paper. He had a big smile on his face like he just won a freaking bowling tournament or something. And he's like, and good news for our fourth quarter investors and stockholders. We can save money. We'll cut 1,000 jobs. We'll lay off 1,000 people. We will put 1,000 people with families out on the street. Guys like that, I can understand one thing if you say, you know, this is really sad news. We got to cut 1,000 jobs. Okay, I'm sorry that somebody's got to, you know, pay, but we got to be answerable to our stockholders. But some guy that comes out in the paper and says, we can really save this fourth quarter. It's really going to be great. We'll cut 1,000 jobs, and we'll do that. We'll cut budgets here. And, gee, what a genius you are. Any guy that makes a company work by killing people, in my opinion, ain't no genius at all. It's just some guy doing the obvious. Okay, let's cut a whole bunch of budget. Now what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. What about the guy that thought up deregulation? Is he around? So anyway, I was trying to think of something clever to say about a man having Alzheimer's, but I guess I'd already done that. Guy says, 1,000 jobs. We're going to cut 1,000 jobs. Why don't we cut your job? And you guys who are running the electricity in this state, one of you guys is going to lose a gig here pretty soon. I don't know who. And how come Dennis Green isn't fired yet as the coach of the Vikings? That just really, it frosts me, man. Because I remember the last recession we had, they had no problem just laying off all kinds of people, man. All kinds of auto workers, everybody. They're just throwing everybody out in the street. But boy, these guys were pulling down their $500,000 or $1 million bonuses. So anyway, that's the story there. But, you know, I don't know why I'm complaining. I haven't lost any power at my house. Have you? Anybody experienced any of these rolling blackouts? I'm just moving right along, singing a song. I got every light in the house turned on. It isn't bothering me, although I am starting to feel a little guilty. And I don't want anybody driving by and saying, well, I got that house lit up like Christmas tree, huh, Phil? Not feeling about any blackouts, do you? No, not that. Yeah, uh-huh. Didn't hear the news, did you? What news? Oh, you didn't hear the news. No. Okay, doesn't look like you heard the news. I don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about? No. Well, I won't be the one to deliver the news. You go right ahead and burn all kinds of lights in there. Hey, what? There's one that isn't on, the bathroom. Okay. And you're sure you're not reading the paper, huh? No, I don't know what's going on. Okay. Well, let me go down to my house. I got to open up this sterno and cook myself some dinner. Why are you doing that? Oh, I don't know. And then we'll light a little campfire out back, see if we can warm our hands. But you just go right ahead and burn all them lights, baby. Okay, if you say so. Yeah, don't mind me. Hey, Phil.
Yeah?
You know those new lights for your pool? Yeah, they're not on. Oh, I better run out and fire those on, too. You got it.
Pool lights.
You know, pool lights are... Can I just talk to you about pool lights? I know many of you don't have swimming pools, but when you do get one, you don't need a pool light because at night, it's better to swim in the dark. You can see the stars. Oh, you mean you live in the ghetto? Oh, I'm sorry about that. So at night, you can see all of those beautiful stars. Oh, you mean you live right in the middle of the city, so you know you can't see stars nohow. Oh, well. Look, Mrs. Streisand tells me, or I should say Mr. Brolin, well, I don't know. But anyway, they tell me that the lights out there at the PCH are really great. You know what I think we all ought to do? I think we all ought to move to the beach. What do you think? Let's all move to Malibu. Okay, we're on our way. Because I hear the night sky out there is gorgeous. I hear there's a beautiful ocean there. And I hear there's big houses. And I hear there's all kinds of sweet stuff. What am I doing here for? We're moving there. It's a Phil Hendry show here. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget. The number to call for our CD is 877-616-7445. $90,377.50 toward my friend's place. And we have some further discussion on the Timothy McVeigh execution and some other crap, which we may or may not do. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. They laid off 400 people at CNN, but they still got Bill Press and Robert Novak. And I think that something needs to be done. Maybe, like, remind Ted Turner that they still work for him. Oh, I didn't know those guys were there. Oh, they're fired, too. Thanks. Jesus. I mean, hey, Ted, Bill Press and Robert Novak work for you, too. Well, then can them. Well, okay, I just wanted to make sure, because... they're still working here, and you laid off 400 people. All right, I didn't know it. Thank you. You're welcome, Phil. Because they're laying off, you know, nobody takes the news of layoffs all that well. They're holding on to the star makers, and they're holding on to the star power. They got Christian Amanpour and Larry King live, and of course, Schaefer had to ask me, what are they going to call the show after he dies? Ha, 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 ha. Isn't that funny? And then they also are holding on to, well, he retired, but Bernard Shaw is one of their heavy hitters, right? And Lou Waters, where'd you pull that one out of? Is he the money guy? The only money guy I see, that's through that limey they got and that one, the other one. And they're all, in varying degrees, you know, effective. But if, get out of here with that firing line, man. If I ever saw a show that needed a revamp in a format, first of all, they're sitting in a darkened room. Like you're in hell, and you walk, you know, it's dark, and you're in hell, and you keep walking until you come to a place in this dark, hellish room where two guys in suits are sitting at a table, and they have the governor of New Jersey, and they have a power company guy, and they're screaming at each other, and then you just keep walking through hell, and you move away from them into this dark room. Isn't that what firing line looks like to you? A big, dark room in hell. It's like inside the actor's studio. By the way, is that the definition of hell, having James freaking Lipton looking at you for an hour? I'd like to ask this question because you share something with me, and you share something with our director, Arnie Flugenhauer, and with Billy Johnson, who wipes my rear end, and what is it? Harrison Ford, you love to fly, isn't that right? Don't you love to fly? Gee, that's great, James. This cat has got this show, Inside the Actor's Studio. Ever seen this? It's really interesting when they get the actors to actually talk about acting. But I guess the guy, you know, kind of falls into a little fan thing, and he wants to know about, you know, what kind of toilet paper they use, you know, what time of the month, and all this stuff. And he's talking to Harrison Ford, who, big star. Harrison Ford said some interesting things in this, in fact. He said, I like to know the script, but not that well. And he said, well, we've noticed that. And another thing, no, but he was talking about acting, and then he said, by the way, I can't resist. You share something in common with me, Billy Waxman, who hoses down the parking lot outside. He's naming people. You know, you never heard of these people. So Harrison Ford has this in common with James Lipton, Billy Waxman, who hoses off the asphalt, Lloyd Fresby, who delivers the milk, and who else? And what is that that he shares with you, James, so we can move on along with this thing and get to the acting part? A love of flying. Well, that's great. I can think of a lot of things that I want to see, you know, Harrison Ford talk about. Flying ain't one of them. Chuck Yeager is the guy that I want to talk to about flying. If memory serves, he busted the sound barrier. There's a guy I'd like to talk to about flying, and the guy that's flying me anywhere, I'd like to talk to him. Any plane I get on, the pilot of that plane, I want to talk to him real soon. Hi, how you doing? Real good. Just want to see you're alive. Okay. Not drinking, are you? Get out of here. Go back to your seat. All right, I'm just... You hungry? Is your blood sugar dropping? So that's hell. Hell you wander through. It's a dark, black room. And the devil says you are now in hell. And you will be doomed to wander eternally through this dark room. Every now and again, though, you'll come upon people in this black room with you. One of them are the people from Firing Line. And you'll wander up, and there's these two guys going at it. With someone, I just don't think, you know, some cackling woman and some old pruned-up old man and you and Bill Press and everybody. And then you keep wandering along, and you come to James Lipton with whoever. Carol Burnett. That was a good one. I saw that James Lipton with Carol Burnett. And he says to her, and I swear to God, I'm quoting directly, I know that you don't think you're very pretty, but I'd like you to know that I'm mad about you, and I've been mad about you for... And it was very wrong. It was very wrong. I realize it's generational to call, tell a woman, I'm mad about you. But isn't that like 1936? Isn't that like Robert Taylor with a top hat? I say, darling, why don't we go across the river into town? I'm mad about you. And it's like Peter Lorre or something. I'm mad about... What do you mean, Peter Lorre? By the way, it's spelled L-O-R-R-E, not L-A-U-R-I. That's like Dr. Peter Lorre Schlesinger. Anyway, and you keep wandering through hell, and you know, you're going to come into the... And then there's Larry King sitting there, and you keep going through hell. I think hell's CNN. Hell is CNN when there ain't no news breaking. So, yeah, they laid off 400 people there at CNN, and that's kind of a tough break, but Ted's still got a job, so whatever. And they call it the Clinton News Network, and I'm talking here to Melissa, my good friend, and she says,
well, the reason why they laid off 400 people is because President Clinton is going to be president anymore, and there won't be a lot of whole interesting news.
I said, are you kidding?
Yeah.
So there won't be as much really cool stuff to report, because George W., he's not, you know, lip-locking some intern when she's down on her knees, and she's doing the cone gob. I'm like, well, whatever, man. So they got to lay off, put people out. Sorry, Clinton's not president anymore. You know, it's just going to be real dull for 4 years. 400 people lose their jobs. Goodbye. And there ain't, but you can't go much further down than that because CNN ain't union, last I checked. Because I was looking for a job over there. Okay, so anyway, there you have it. By the way, who's on Inside the Actor's Studio this weekend? I can't wait for the next installment of that thing. Jesus. And then those kids are out in the audience.
Hi. Christopher Walken. My name's Penny so-and-so, and I'm an actor.
Uh-huh.
And my parents sent me here to the Actor's Studio on a, you know, $50,000 a year tuition, and I'll never have to wait a table again as long as I live, but that don't necessarily mean... Yeah, and what is this? I'm on the acting track. Hi. I'm on the acting track?
Well, I'm on the Atkins diet, so that's a great thing. How are you?
Good.
Don't you think in our industry... Wait a minute. Just exactly what installment of Star Wars were you in? It's the Phil Hendry Show.